Hi, this is Corey Washington.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Corey Washington. This is the last installment of our interview with King George Clemens and his little brother Alex. And first off, before we go into the interview, we want to start a special tribute to Jimi Hendrix that Alex and Prespect, his group, put together called Cherokee Blues.
Goodbye.
my riverboat, plantation, and a mule. I got rid of my storefront, and I didn't come all this way to disappoint. I've seen your face, even though it's a hard place. I don't remember where, and I don't remember when, but that's my case. I'm a rambling man with the same old song. Want to hold your hand, want to understand. I got a ticket to ride. We can work it out. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
That was Cherokee Blues, a tribute to Jimi Hendrix by Alex and his group Prespect with King George Clemens. And here's the last and final part of our interview with King George and his little brother Alex.
One of the things that I want to ask you, King George, here in the United States, you know, there's a thing that I do. I'm an author, I'm a teacher, and I study Jimi Hendrix from an African-American perspective because you kind of alluded to it that people, how do you perceive Jimi Hendrix? How was he received in the black community here in the United States, even though you weren't over here? What are the things that you were hearing about how he was received by black people over here in the United States? And how was he received over in Europe by black people over there?
Mm-hmm. Now, very good, difficult. I studied Jimi Hendrix, and he studied me. He grew up in Seattle, Washington. He went to school with white people, so he had a big trust for them, so to speak. I went to school in Virginia. I have no trust for them. And I found out what that made the difference between me and him. Now, over here, as far as he's concerned, it wasn't nothing but a party. In the States, they were indifferent. All of them needed to know, they still need to know who he is. You know, it's Jimi Hendrix. Oh, I didn't know about that. And then because of his name, he grew bigger. But it was a time before Band of Gypsies started. He didn't know nothing. And he started building his studio. He didn't know nothing. They act like they didn't know him. The people in the business act like they didn't know him. And here, I asked him about people that we know in New York from the band. He said, I don't see them people anymore. So I guess what their experience was, he wouldn't let over here, he wouldn't let Little Richard come to his head. He didn't, he denied him out. And he, Little Richard said, I don't know why, but we know why.
Why was that, King George?
Yeah.
Why did he lock Little Richard out?
Yeah. So it was like that.
Yeah.
And the names grew so big. I don't think Jimmy knew how big his name had grown.
Yeah.
He was pretty sad about when he wasn't on stage, about the things going on around him and his bass player and all them, the white one. I didn't like the bass player. I could tell it soon as I saw him because they started taking Jimmy not for the music, for what we can use to get money out of it.
Yeah.
And he blamed himself because he took the money as much as he could. He didn't take nowhere near all of it, but he took as much as he could. And he just rambled a little too. And you could hear him say to people, he said it not so much in a way, but he said, when the next time I come to Seattle, I'll be in a box. He said that in the public, and that's the way he felt about here, there, everywhere, and especially England.
Yeah.
I told him that. I asked him not to go back to England.
Yeah.
I said, because you ripped them off. The way they look at it, you ripped them off, and you going back to the States, and you carrying that glory back to the States. That's enough to kill an English man will kill you for that. You know, that's what the war was about in the first place.
Yeah.
People going around chopping up people because the man that had to nerve to stick his chest out, you know? And he just didn't look at it. And I said to him once, well, he said something about paranoia. I said, what I'm talking about is not paranoia. I said, but I understand you grew up with white people. So you trust them. Yeah. From the minute that I met him, I never trust them. I tell him, don't do this, don't do that. I think, what's that guy named Clayton Guitar with Jimmy? I know him too. You know the guy. Got on his records with Jimmy.
Yeah.
Played a guitar?
Yeah, he sang also.
Yeah, Eric Clapton.
Nine. On his records.
Uh-huh.
His first record.
Somebody else was playing? I thought Jimmy was the only one playing guitar.
Nah. No, you know this one.
Larry Lee?
No.
No, not that one.
But somebody like that.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
On his first album or second album?
No album. He played it after Jimmy got famous. He started putting albums out.
Arthur Lee?
Bob with Jimmy Hendrix.
Not Arthur Lee, right?
No.
Not Larry Lee.
You know him. Everybody wishing me a happy birthday.
Oh, you talking
everybody
about
wishing.
Curtis Knight. Curtis Knight.
Yeah, that's him.
Curtis Knight.
See?
Yeah.
Curtis Knight was
okay,
his friend.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know what I was going to say now. But he had something to do with whatever I was going to say.
Yeah,
I know him too. He died in Neverland. I was with him before he died. He had a stroke, too.
Okay.
He didn't know anything about what happened to him in New York. He couldn't remember the white Cadillac, the white guitar, the white suit, the white girls. He couldn't remember. He had another woman in the Netherlands, and I was playing there, and I went by to see him. He couldn't remember me, and I knew him well, but he was at home, and I don't think he wanted to remember me because I never liked him. He used to play Jimmy in the like a monkey.
Yeah.
When Jimmy was playing the guitar behind his head, he tell him, eat that guitar. Let me see it. I want to see it in front of all these white people that's looking at it.
Yeah.
I didn't like that, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when Jimmy told me, I won't be doing this shit no more. I'm going to go to England, to the Rolling Stones and whatever. I'm going to get out of New York. They bought him a ticket from Teresa's hotel.
Teresa's.
Teresa Hotel,
yeah. Okay.
Where all the pop stars was living,
yeah.
That played in the Apollo Theater. I think Castro was here.
Okay, yeah.
Living there.
Malcolm X.
Living there. Yeah, all of them. Because Jimmy was living up there. Would play his rent by the day, and he didn't have a guitar. So every day he was out hustling. He catch a woman, she give him a guitar, and he play, and he take the money to the rent people. And all of them was up there in Carissa's hotel before it was about the Black Panther. They put him into Black Panther because if so many people heard him say in New York the thing that I told him to watch out. He was complaining about the N-word. He said it's plain. He didn't come up with nothing. He said, they got to learn something. And they looked at him like, what are you? That's how they looked at it. And he said, I know what I am. But you don't know nothing. It was terrible. I pulled niggas off him two or three times. I carried a knife. I had a little gun. I was doing a gangster bit. I was cheating people with dice. I learned how to cheat that. I was going to be a gangster. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I didn't care that much for singing at first. As if some guys that I met told me, gangsters, hey man, you got a good voice. You play a good little guitar. Why don't you make a living at that? So the girl called me to come and sing. I thought it was easy money. Yeah. So I did. And that I started. I was supposed to go back in 3 months, but I went back not yet. 3 months, I came, I fell in love, made a little girl, and I stayed because here I was able to fix my thinking from the things that I thought to the things that I'm doing now. And I don't know how much relief it gives me, But it gives me a lot of relief to know what I know. A lot of times we say to ourselves, if I'd have known this was much when I was young, I'd be a rich man. Yeah, well, maybe so. But I didn't do it that way.
Now,
I tested everything.
Before I let you go, Little Richard, you said that he tried to come and see Jimmy when Jimmy had already made it big in England, but Jimmy wouldn't let him come to see him. Why didn't Jimmy come let Little Richard see him? Because he wanted some money or something?
I met Little Richard, too. And I don't know, he would take music, put him in the back, fly him around the world, and give him cocaine, not the money. And Jimmy wasn't ready for that. And when Little Richard was on the stage, Jimmy, well, in some way, imitated, he thought, Little Richard. Now, John Torvey was like that, too. All them soul singers, you know, I write down soul because of their morality. They was like preacher men in a pink suit, except for the Temptation. I loved the
Temptation.
They was like the preacher man walking around taking money for poor people that we know how they do. You know, everybody, cat back in a silk suit, conk your hair and go around and muscle with people and taking their money. And my parents was getting angry with me because I refused to give them my money. I worked hard riding a bicycle, delivering groceries. They tell me to give my money to them. I said, I can do that. I can do that.
Yeah.
So they made a gangster out of me. Yeah, when I got away from home. That's the reason he was jealous.
Jealous.
That's the thing with Jimmy. He didn't think nobody was jealous of him.
Yeah.
He thought, oh, I'm just an ordinary guy. Nobody's jealous of me. Yeah. And I said, he told me I had these sideburns that look like that. He told me once, well, I'm jealous of you. And I said, why is that? He said, you got them sideburns. So that taught me that he knew about it. He was joking, but he knew about it.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, he dressed in a way, he said, yeah, when I come in the door, everybody going to fall out laughing. And they did. Oh, shit, look at him. Lonnie Youngblood took care of him. Jimmy used to send other singers, Lonnie Youngblood and Gon Corby. Jimmy sent them to me. They were looking for a good singer. I didn't know it. I didn't know it then, but I know it now. And
okay.
He sent them to me. And it came to my house and said, we got a little singer here. Can you help us up? And I went to the studio, and I put down Have Mercy, and only that.
Was Jimmy in
and,
the studio?
Then I asked them, who played the guitar?
Yeah.
And they couldn't tell me. And then I saw them chasing around, and they went to the school, and it showed me that Jimmy could be copied. That's what showed me right then. I don't think Jimmy ever went to that school. And people in the school that would copy every note, and that's what the guy was playing. He was on the road with us.
Yeah.
Not Jimmy, because he's unpredictable.
So Jimmy,
and
Jimmy on the record? Was Jimmy the one that was on the actual record playing the guitar lick, or did Jimmy come up with the guitar lick for Have Mercy?
He came up with it, and he was on it playing
on the record. Okay.
People in New York knew that. He was playing it, and he came up with it. I got old rehearsal tapes about him playing the song on the tape recorder before I made it.
You still got it?
Before it was ever out.
Can you put
and
it
I
out?
I was wondering.
You still got it? You still got the tape?
That was Atlantic, no? Yeah, it was Atlantic. Okay. And John Carvey is mixed up with Atlantic. And Atlantic folded up. Somebody died there, maybe in the second. Some important person died in Atlantic. I was on RCA Victor with Bernard Purdy. There's some records you've probably heard with Bernard Purdy and the band that plays King Curtis. The Ray Charles band, not all the time, but those people.
Okay.
J.J. Johnson, yeah. And I was lucky, as they want to call it, because a girl told me, said, the reason why you got saved is because you can sing. I never thought more about singing. I don't sing as good as many people as I have heard in my sight. But then I found out people have different ways of doing things. And the only one person that can imitate me now is Norman Freeman. The only one.
What is that behind you? I see King George Discovery, Peace of Mind. I see that album, and I see a Jimi Hendrix album above that. What are those behind you? The King George Discovery.
The one behind me.
Yeah.
It's a psychedelic,
yeah.
And I guess Jimmy's is too, but I can't tell about how that record come from. Jimmy, nothing wrote on it. And this one is that that was after the Discovery.
Okay.
I threw a song, Light My Fire, and Stone Free.
Yeah.
I threw them in the garbage when this record company, when we finished, because then everybody was upset because Jimmy was coming to Sweden. And I was recording Sweden, Stone Free, before he got here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they made some kind of talking about it. So I threw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
They took this out of the garbage, and now this Phone Free and Light My Fire, not by the door, but
Jose
by
Feliciano. Jose,
yeah.
Feliciano.
That was the one that I took.
Okay.
But they put me in with doors, and it made it sound like it was some kind of thing that the Hendrix would do, which I would call it psychedelic. They put a history of me in the record, and the band called me when I was in South America, and he paid me. He sent money to the bank, and he asked me for a release, and he done that. I ain't even listened to it. Yeah, I've listened to it once, but that maybe it's on the YouTube. That it's a whole lot of stuff on the YouTube. I mean, YouTube is a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
South America, Germany, France, Norway, Finland,
yeah.
All them places, they're on that tape,
uh-huh.
And that is on there too. Record company, I did it. I don't know who they are. He hasn't been in. And such, but they sent me the money before I gave him permission.
Okay.
And I think it was one of the guys in the band. He's grown up now. He was a young boy when I met him. I haven't heard from him since. And I'm thinking about who was in the studio when I threw this stuff away. It was one of the people playing in the band, or the engineer. Somebody reached in the garbage and said, "Can I keep it?" I said, "Yeah, keep it."
Yeah.
And now it comes out.
Okay. Yeah.
That shows you how much I thought about it.
Yeah.
And I did Stoke Free is done. Hey, you can. Yeah, I can help you with that. I can send you that album.
Yeah.
On the computer.
Okay, you could send it to my email,
yeah.
Or you want to send it through Facebook?
I would like to send the whole thing, but
before I let you guys go,
yeah.
I know Alex was telling me that you can't play music loud in your apartment after a certain time, right? So you can't play any guitar on the screen before we go, can you?
No, I don't want to.
Okay, now.
I don't want to. It's other people. They come in. They want to come in here.
Can you give us a little a cappella before we go of a song that you want to sing a little bit before we go? Just the vocal?
Mm. Hey, take it.
Yeah.
So that way we can close out on a musical note.
Take it.
Yeah.
Okay, what you got for us? You're not going to do Steal Away, are you?
You want to do Steal Away?
Yeah, I do it.
Okay.
look at me. Look at.
Yeah.
You hear me? Let me. I've got to see you somehow. Not tomorrow. Said I want to do it right now. I can't wait. I can't wait. It's getting late to steal away. I got to see you. Maybe tomorrow, but today I just have to wait until tomorrow. I can't wait. Oh, I'm feeling away. I'm getting stopped right now. I know it's late somehow. I know that you're going to make it somehow. If only your mother would understand that I can't be nothing but your man. So I've got to see you with somehow. I can't wait. The hour's getting late. I can't wait. It's getting too late. Come on and steal away. That's it.
All right. All right. Appreciate that.
Yeah. You got a guy there. He plays guitar. Called a snake. What is his name? You don't know. But he's very good.
Yeah. I know this young cat.
Yeah, a young guy.
He's in Mississippi. Yeah, he's in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Kingfish. Yeah. Young guy. Yeah, I know who you're
talking
about.
He got some. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard him do that one time.
Oh, okay.
But it comes from that comes from way back.
The gospel song, like, did they take it and turn it into secular song?
Oh, yeah, I do gospel songs also, but I don't tell the people what I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
You know, if it gets too disrespectful, then I don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do the hip hop with them.
Johnny Taylor, that's the first version I heard, Johnny Taylor. But But I started hearing all these other versions, so that's why I asked you to do yours.
Yeah, that's what the one I gave to him, the one with Johnny Taylor.
Okay. Yeah.
I got it on my computer.
Okay.
Yeah, I get most of the blues song on my computer. It reminds me.
Yeah.
And that one I played it in South America.
Yeah.
With another.
Yeah, I saw
South America.
It was on YouTube.
Guitar player. Okay. He never heard it before.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
I said, because I see TV and playing to somebody is different than playing some dance place where there are people dancing, then you get another King George.
What's your favorite Jimi Hendrix song to play? What's your favorite Jimi Hendrix song to play or perform? Jimi Hendrix. What's your favorite?
Voodoo Child.
Yeah.
I'm standing next to the mountain. I chop it down with the end of my ring. Instead of standing next to the mountain, I chop it down with the edge of my wing. You know I pick up the pieces. I might even raise a little thing. And the way I'm a voodoo child. Lord knows I'm a voodoo child. I'm sorry, take up all your free time. Give it right back to you one of these days. Sorry to take up all your sweet time. Give it right back to you one of these days. And if I don't see in this world, I'll see in the next. And don't you be late. Don't be late. Yeah, what about you? I'm a voodoo child. I'm a voodoo child. Oh, Paul Mountain. Just don't fall on me. Don't hit a Mr. Businessman. You can't dress like me. All too soon, my kite will die. I'm gonna fry my free fat. I know you're a foxy lady. I know your love could drive me crazy. I wanna take you home. I won't do you no harm. You gotta be mine. Let all mine. Oh, Foxy, I'm coming to get you.
Appreciate you for letting me take up your sweet time. I guess I give it back to you one of these days. So,
maybe
I'll pass across one day if I ever get the gumption to come to Sweden. You never know. It's good talking to both of you guys.
Thanks.
Later.
All right.
Later.
Want to thank King George and his little brother Alex. Now we got a little 10-minute medley for you. Check out King George Discovery.
Fairy tale.
there.
Wanna get funky. Wanna get funky.
Yeah.
Let's get funky.
Lord. Yeah.
I said I wanna get the funky.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I do. My baby boogaloo.
Yeah. Go back and listen to part one and two of the King George interview. Anytime you want. Blog Talk Radio.
Three-part interview with King George Clemens, legendary blues artist, friend of Jimi Hendrix, along with his little brother Alex from Gothenburg, Sweden. You've been listening to a 10-minute medley that I put together with King George Discovery. Check him out, YouTube, Spotify, all over. Once again, you can go back and click parts 1 and 2 of the interview and listen to all three parts. Thank you.